right, we're late. I'm Tina.
And I'm Keith. I told you not to let Olivia drive the car.
I really thought she was ready for it.
Man, now our insurance is really going to go up.
Sorry.
That's okay. We wanted to welcome you, and we hope you feel at home here at Evanston.
Whether it's your first time here or you've been attending since you were born, there is a place for you here at Evanston.
And if you were wondering what your next steps might be to get connected at Evanston, Daniel is here to help you out.
Here's Daniel.
She didn't even stop at the stop sign.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. Our children's and our youth programs are currently on their summer break, but that doesn't mean we don't have anything for them. VBS will be July 24th through July 28th. Hype will be meeting every other week during the summer, but there are a few exceptions, so you'll want to check your calendar for that. For the adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners. That'll be the last Sunday of every month. We also have our men's golf and our ladies' meetings. We also have a lot of volunteer opportunities available, so please talk to us about those if you're interested. We are still editing our Stories of Faith videos, so be on the lookout for those coming soon. If you're like me and can't remember these dates after the sermon, then check out the website. It's got all of our events and dates on there. So no matter where you're at in your journey, there's something for you.
Hey, Tina, what you got there?
Oh, I'm just checking out the bulletin. Did you know that it's filled with information about our church and that you might find it handy?
Well, I did know that. That's also where you can find the connection card.
Oh.
If you fill that out, you'll stay up to date with all the things going on at the church.
You can also use that card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So why don't you get busy filling that out? You.
Oh.
And you guys out there can do the same. And when you're done, you can just drop it on the pew when you leave. And one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you. Or, if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for.
We post some pretty interesting articles and resources there a couple times a week. So you are definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to evanstonavenuebaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we do have a couple more important things to share with you.
VBS starts next week. And I can't wait for the adventure.
Well, maybe this sneak peek will help hold you over until next week.
Each day wraps up at closing celebration. Crews gather for loads of fun-filled, surprising, audience-involving activities and object lessons that reinforce the daily Bible point. Plus, kids also view another segment of the day's Kid Vid story to learn more about their new friends from Peru.
If you're like me and you can't wait for VBS, make sure you grab a flyer from the back or head over to evanstonavenuebaptist.com/VBS and register today.
VBS starts July 24th and we will be starting at 6 p.m. this year.
Also this week, we do have the youth yard sale on the 21st, so this is your last chance to bring in your donations.
Don't forget that the 30th of July is Family Worship Sunday and our Next Step Lunch.
So it's a perfect time to invite your friends, especially if they have kids.
Finally, don't forget that we have our special prayer service tonight at 6 p.m. This will be an evening of prayer and worship, and there will be elders and leaders there to pray with you and for you specifically. You don't want to miss it.
Well, now that we have you up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you. Now here is Pastor Matt continuing our series, Finding Our Place, with a sermon on personality.
You took away the keys, right?
Here's Pastor Matt.
You know, I always thought my son got to the point of driving really fast, so apparently Olivia's ahead of the curve. That's awesome. All right, as our ushers come forward, we're going to pray for our offering. We're going to pray for our message together as they're coming forward. As you can see, our stage does look a little different. Pretty cool, huh? Just a reminder, we do have Vacation Bible School coming up. Jackson, do we have any more of the signs back there? We have 3 signs left, so I want to encourage you, if you have kids in your neighborhood, this is a great thing you can do. Just stick your sign in the front yard. There's some flyers in there, so like, you know, parents and kids can grab registration. Want to encourage you to do that. It's going to be a great opportunity for us to minister to the kids in our neighborhood. Let me pray for our offering briefly. Father, we thank you because you have blessed us so richly. You have given to us everything that we have. You've given us the very air in our lungs. And so, Father, we give back to you a portion of all that you've given us. Father, we give back to you the air in our lungs as we sing praises to your name. We give back to you all that we have, our time, our talents, and our treasures. So, Father, we ask that you receive those gifts in the spirit with which they are provided. Lord, we ask that you use them to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And, Father, I ask as well that this time in your word be fruitful for all of us. Lord, we ask that our hearts be open to your Holy Spirit. Father, as the pastor, I simply ask that my words fall to the ground, and I ask that your words endure forever and change our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. And I do want to, before we get into the message, I do want to just encourage you guys. We are having a prayer service. We don't do that all the time, but just kind of a special thing we're doing tonight, just something to gather. We're going to worship together, and we're going to offer prayer just as a group. So I want to encourage you, 6 o'clock, you're welcome to come back and join us for that as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Now, as we dig into this, our series for the summer, our growth series, is Finding Our Place. And I've been sharing with you guys that God has a ministry for all of us, not just me, not just the praise team or the staff or the elders, but every last one of us has been called, and we have been uniquely wired by God to do something for his kingdom. And thankfully, we're not all called to do the same thing. Can you imagine how boring that would be if we were all preachers? Do you know how long our church service would be? We'd be going for hours, and no one would be listening. We'd all be taking notes and trying to figure out what we were going to say next. So it's great that God gives us this great diversity of gifts and abilities and talents. And for us, we want to find the place where we have been wired to serve the Lord. And that's what this whole series is about, is to get more of us understanding how God has wired us. So in that spirit, you may find this surprising, that being part of the generation, I got to grow up with computers. And it probably reveals something that, A, I can talk about growing up with computers versus growing up with cell phones. That probably categorizes me somewhere in the middle, I guess. But I remember when I was in elementary school, I remember getting the first green screen Apple II, and we had one computer in our whole school, and we all had to take turns. We're looking at it like, oh, this is so awesome. We can play this game called Oregon Trail. Anyone else, fellow Oregon Trail veterans? Be strong, it's all good. So I've grown up with computers, and we all kind of know what they look like. This is the computer, the basic model, of course. I think this is a Mac, which I use a Chromebook, which is not a Mac. It works, it's functional. Now, we all recognize this because this is a computer. I just want to introduce to you this concept because we know this, that computers basically have 2 parts. They have hardware and software. Daniel, I'm sorry, my friend. This is as technical as I get. Daniel's got like a master's in computer geniusry, and so he knows how these things work. I'm a simple guy. Computers have 2 parts. This is the hardware. This is the part we use. And then, of course, there's the other part of it, which is the software. I don't know for sure, but I've been told that's what actual like program language looks like. Computer people, did I get it right? Is this oh wow, okay. I don't understand any of that. I speak biblical Greek and I don't get any of that. And that's what makes the computers work. That's the software side of it today. And for me, I don't know about you, but for me, when I start using the computers, I start using the hardware and software combined, this is usually the reaction that I have. Anyone else? Can I get any? Okay, yeah. Even the people who didn't grow up with computers, yes, we know. This is called manual reboot. Manual reboot. And for us, as we're figuring out how we're wired, last week we were talking about talents. We were talking about the natural giftings that we have, the things that we're just naturally good at. This week we're going to start shifting gears a little bit, and in order to do that, we need to take a look at how we have been created as human beings. We need to kind of take a look at ourselves, not just our hardware, but we also need to take a look at the software that's inside of us. So I want to invite you. This will be probably the only time I ever do this. Okay, this will be a first. You want to write this down on your computer, on your computer on your notes. Today's message is primarily going to come from one verse. And everyone's like, yes, we'll get out on time. Oh, don't worry. God's word is awesome. I don't want anyone to feel shortchanged. But we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And I love that verse because it kind of, in one sentence, summarizes our composition as human beings, our hardware package and our software package. Now, the things we're going to be talking about are found all throughout Scripture. This is just one verse that pulls them all together. And so I'll reference some of the other passages, but we can actually unpack this verse to understand how we're wired. So, and that's what I love about it. So let's dive right in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're looking for it, it's in the New Testament. That's the back part of the Bible. It's a little bit newer than the Old Testament. And that ultimately is the book of 1 Thessalonians is a letter that a guy named Paul wrote under the authority of the Holy Spirit to a church in a place called Thessalonica, and he was basically teaching them some things, and this was part of it. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 simply says this: may God himself, the God of peace — we could probably just preach a whole message just on that, couldn't we? How many things do you have in your life that routinely drain your sense of peace? Amen? When there's all the clutter and all the stress and all the problems and all the issues of life that just happen naturally, we have a God of peace who doesn't always take away those painful and chaotic circumstances, but we have a God who in the middle of those comes alongside and says, I will give you the peace that makes no sense. Do you ever realize that? You guys have heard the expression, right? The peace that passes understanding. That sounds like it's a beautiful phrase, but literally it means God will give us peace that makes no sense, passing understanding. And when our life is falling apart, and we can point to this tragedy and this horrible circumstance and all these other things going on around us, and we feel peace, it makes no sense apart from God. So that's just, I love how God describes himself there. The God of peace. So he says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll put verse 24 in there too. We'll do two verses. Is that okay? We'll give you an extra verse at no extra charge. Okay. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So I want us to zoom in for just a moment, because in this one verse, what God does is he pulls together kind of all the parts of us in one place, where he says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Now, those are terms we use a lot. Soul. I love you, heart and soul. My spirit is, you know, filled with this. You know, we use those terms a lot. And so for us to keep moving forward, to keep finding our place, I want to unpack what those three things are. Because according to this passage and throughout all of the Bible, we see those three terms used in a variety of ways to describe us, our hardware and our software. So let's start with the obvious one, if we could. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay, we have three parts to us that we see in Scripture. Probably more, we can subdivide them a little bit, but generally speaking, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit, and you may be going, what's the difference? Let's unpack it just a little bit. So first and foremost, we have a body. That's our hardware. That's what we're looking at each other in. You know, our hardware, our body, is a temporary gift from God. It's temporary. It was made, well, at least it happens now, that it's made that it will pass away. We'll get a new one. We will at some point in time, after we die and after we go to heaven and experience the resurrection, we'll get body 2.0. I don't know about you, but I'm hoping for one of those bodies that has like the little loaves of bread right here. You know, and not so much this. You know, I don't know, whatever, maybe the perfect body looks like this. I don't think so. I was telling my 16-year-old son that he and I are essentially the same person with a different percentage of body fat. And I assured him that with a steady diet of cheesecake and Doritos, he too could have all this. He did not relish that thought. But our bodies are temporary. We will get rid of them at some point in time. And I want to encourage you in your notes, please write 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 44. And I don't want to spend a bulk of our time here on the body, but that passage is one place where we are reminded of this body, this hardware that we're in, is temporary. It will pass away. It will return to dust. Or to put it in another way, perhaps more poetically, the Christian band Switchfoot, they said it this way: this skin and bones is a rental. At some point in time, it gets turned back in. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take care of it. God has given us this body. We steward it. We take care of it. We get sleep. We do nutrition. We theoretically do exercise for the younger set. Just so you know, this is not exercise. Amen? You see kids for hours doing this. Your thumbs do not need a workout. Amen? You know, but we take care of our body, even though it's temporary, because it is a gift from God. We're good with this. We understand the hardware. So let's move into the other package, if you will, the software package. This passage in 1 Thessalonians says we have a body. It also says we have this thing called our spirit. Now, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about that. That's the Spirit with a capital S. But we have a spirit within us. And I like to look at it this way. It's the imprint that God has placed on us. Just like the barefoot print on the sand, we know that something goes there, don't we? We know that that space, that footprint, was designed to be filled by something else. And for us, we have the part inside of us, the part of our software, the very core of our being that was created as an imprint of God. And it's designed to be filled. Just like that footprint is designed to be filled with a foot, our spirit is designed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a couple of passages for this. One of them is Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. And in that passage, what we read is that God Himself has literally placed eternity in everyone. Every human being, everyone made in the image of God, has the footprint of eternity deep in their spirit. The place that is crying out to worship something. The place in our life that is crying out to be fulfilled, to be in relationship with God Himself. We have this as human beings, which is why every single human being worships something. Everyone worships. Everybody. Even the atheists who say there is no God, they worship something. The atheist, they worship their own mind. The atheist says the greatest single force in this universe is my ability to think. And that's what they worship. And at the end of that day, the equation leaves you empty. Because I know I'm a good thinker, but sorry. This is temporary. But we have a spirit within us that is yearning to worship because we have eternity imprinted on our hearts. Another passage just for you, and I'm giving you these passages with the hope that you will do your study on this, to look it up. But I want to give you another one. Psalm 42, verse 7 is another one that just indicates how God has put the Spirit in us. Not the Holy Spirit, but a human spirit that is crying out to be in connection with Him. So we have a body, and at the, you know, that's our outsides. And at the very insides, of course, we have a spirit, the unique divine imprint that's on our life, craving the eternal. But there's more to our software package, if you will. We have a body on the outside, a spirit at the dead center, but then around that spirit, there is something else that the body calls a soul. The Bible calls it a soul. And that's the one that's tough to understand. What is a soul? How do we understand what soul means? The Greek word for soul, we still use today. We use it a lot. The Greek word for soul in Scripture is psyche, from which we get psychology. And it literally just means all of the stuff that's not physical. And I would submit it to you this way. Our soul, which includes our spirit, spirit is a part of the soul, our soul is everything that matters about who we are. Because I promise you, this rental facility that I'm living in, that's not me. This can perish. But the part of me that is me, the soul, everything that matters, lives on for all eternity. That's the true us, is our soul. And I want to spend time on that piece just for a little bit, because if you've been around church for a long time, you understand, okay, everyone gets we have a body. If you've been around church, we understand that we have a spirit, we have that part of us that yearns for the eternal. But then what do we do with the soul? And as I've done some research and reading and studying and talking to, you know, theologians and counselors and psychologists and biblical scholars and all that, we're kind of able to break it down that a soul typically has three pieces to it. Soul typically has three pieces, okay? Here it is. Soul piece number one. We have a will. And simply put, our will is the ability to choose. That may be the single greatest thing that God has given to us, in my humble opinion. Our will. And if you read Joshua 24, you read this famous passage where Joshua says to the people of Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. Will you follow Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Will you follow the way of righteousness? Or will you follow the way of the evil pagans who worship something else? But it's up to you. Choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. And we believe this. That's why on a regular basis we say, you must choose. Will you follow Jesus Christ? Or will you live your own life? Which is fun for a while, but it ends in destruction. You must choose. Yeah, that's the very heartbeat of what we believe, is the choice to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's why we put the baptismal tank in the back in the middle, because for us, when someone makes that choice to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that's when the angels celebrate and party in heaven, and we get to party with them. As Baptists, we party down here. We don't go all the way. We stay down here. It's all good. And then we have a potluck, because that's biblical. No, down here, you can't. No. We're down here. But ultimately, it is our will, the ability to choose. That's part of our soul, and we make thousands and thousands of choices every day. So that's part of it. There's another part of our soul, though, as well, which is our emotions. God has given us the ability to feel. I mean, come on, this is a dad with a baby. Can I get an awe? Awe. Kids that age are awesome. They have the new baby smell, and everybody just kind of does the same thing. Awe. And all the good emotions are stirred up inside of us. And then the baby wakes up at 3 in the morning, and a different set of emotions are stirred up inside of us. We'll make it, you know. But when you think about it, God did not have to give us the ability to feel anything. He could have made us robots. We could have been walking around saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you, you know, and that's it. But he didn't. He hardwired into us the ability to experience things like joy and love and peace. How cool is that? Our God gave us the ability to feel so that we could fully enjoy our relationship with Him. That's part of our soul, part of our inner software. And then last but not least, the third part of our soul is our mind. And yes, people have debated, is the mind and the will the same thing? Where's the conscience and all that? But generally speaking, the biblical scholars, the people who study this, would say that we have a mind, emotions, and our will. The ability to choose, the ability to think, and the ability to feel. And praise God for that. If we did not have the ability to think through our mind, we would just be carried off by anything that makes us feel good. Anything that can stir our emotions, we would follow. I choose to go this way. Why? Because it feels good. Off I go. Which, if you don't notice, that's the message of the world. Feel, do. Feel, do. Feel, do. And God says, no. I gave you feelings, I gave you the ability to choose, but I also gave you the ability to think. One of my favorite podcasts is Let My People Think. The ability to reason. And God put all that, He put all of this, He put our spirit, He put our will, our mind, and our emotions, He put all that into our software package and put that inside of us. Now, if you look back at 1 Thessalonians verse 23, we see that. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Now I want you to go back to the very beginning of that verse where it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. So the first truth we need to pull out of this passage is that God gives us a body, soul, and spirit, as we just talked about. But there's another truth that we need to cling to. All three of those need to be sanctified. May God sanctify you through and through. All of you. Okay? My flesh, my physical stuff, my habits, the things I do, the cravings that I have, my deep love of cheesecake, and things that end in Eidos. You know, all of those things need to be sanctified. We need to be redeemed and restored in those areas as well. And if you need a passage to dig into that, I would encourage you to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Since we're in the neighborhood, let me just flip there briefly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. All of us, it says, also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And that's speaking very specifically. Some of your Bibles would say following the desires of our flesh. All of us have the cravings and the pulls that lead us away from God that come from our physical bodies. That needs to be redeemed. That needs to be sanctified. It needs to be restored. God needs to work there so that I can honor him in my physical body. And it would be easy, though, to say that all of my sin is there, but it's not. My soul or my heart also needs to be sanctified. My software needs to be changed, not just my hardware. If you would be so kind, join me in the book of Jeremiah, please. It's in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, we're going to be in chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah, he's a fun guy to read. He's called the weeping prophet. And if you're unfamiliar with scripture, a prophet was a person that God sent basically to tell people they were doing something wrong. Does that sound like a fun job? No. Jeremiah was often called the weeping prophet because he didn't really want to go. He didn't want to go to his hometown and say, God's going to judge you guys because you're living wrong. But he did. He was faithful and followed. But in Jeremiah 17, we see this really important insight into our heart, into our soul. And I want you to go here, and I want you to read this, because what you're about to read in terms of my soul needing to be sanctified speaks against the message of this world. Listen to this. Chapter 7, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart, our software, our soul, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And I love reminding us of that verse because, again, the message of this world is feel it and do it. The message of this world is usually follow your heart. It sounds beautiful. I mean, how many Disney shows end with that as the big finish? We followed our heart and it worked. Yay! My friends, I don't want to follow my heart. My heart's messed up. My heart is deceitful. My heart will lead me away from God on its own. We're really good at that too, aren't we? Even as Christians, if we allow ourselves to just follow our own heart, we will wind up walking away from fellowship with God. So my heart needs to be restored. Psalm 51, one of my favorite passages, literally says this. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Because according to this passage, the one I got don't work right. I need a new one. And God is faithful, and he says, not only will I save you, not only will I give you eternal life, I will create in you a new software package. I will create in you a new heart. And that's what we need to experience. Because on its own, my heart will lead me away from God. I need a new heart that's in relationship with him. So my heart needs to be sanctified. And just to round it out, so does my mind. If you have a chance, write down in your notes Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where we read that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So my ability to think, my ability to reason on its own will again lead me away from God. And I don't know if you've ever encountered people who are brilliant thinkers, but they start in the wrong place and they lead themselves further away from God. There are a number of noted atheists, philosophers, who do this beautifully. They have flawless logic, abilities to reason beyond measure. But their starting point is always, the Bible is wrong, and then they reason out from there. And all they do is they reason themselves further and further away from the God who loves them so much. Rather than questioning their own idea, well, maybe the Bible is true. Maybe God is real. And let's start there. You end in a very different place. But my ability to think needs to be transformed by the renewing of my mind according to God's holy word. We need that. And then last but not least on this one, my spirit. Remember that? The part of me that has the imprint of God? That needs to be renewed as well. Since we're in Jeremiah, flip a couple pages to the right to Ezekiel chapter 36. And I know we're doing a lot of page turning. As you guys know, when I preach, we normally don't do that. We just stay in one passage. But this is one I want us to see how this is carried through the whole of Scripture. We see these ideas communicated. But we're going to be in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. And again, like Jeremiah, Ezekiel was a prophet. But he had a different assignment. Jeremiah was sent to the people of Jerusalem to say, you're sinning and you're about to get judged. Ezekiel was sent to them after they got judged to say, y'all deserve this. Accept your punishment. So very different tasks, both of them equally unpleasant. But in the middle of all this, Ezekiel 26, we read these words. This is the Lord speaking. I'll wait until all the pages are done. That's okay. Verse 26, the Lord says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. My friends, that's awesome. Because as I hear the news that my heart is desperately deceitful and wicked, as I hear that my spirit will lead me away from God if it's left to its own devices, what God says is awesome. He says, I will come in and I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I'm going to put my spirit in you. How cool is that? That in this broken and frail temporary body, the God of the universe says, I want to live there. I want to live in the bad part of town. I want to live in the heart of Matt Sharp. I want to see some renovation going on in this part of town. And I'm going to put my Holy Spirit inside of this guy so that he can begin to change. I love that. Every part of me needs to be redeemed. And that's exactly what God offers, is the chance for every part of us, body, soul, and spirit, to be radically transformed. It is awesome and tough. because my heart keeps wanting to go back. But our God is so good and faithful. He transforms us from top to bottom. Amen. But he does it for a reason. Remember the second verse that I threw in there for free in 1 Thessalonians? It says we need to be sanctified, body and soul and spirit. But the very next part of that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24 says, the one who calls you is faithful and will do this for you. So again, a reminder that God will do all this for us, but he does it all for a reason. If you're in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, the very first part of this needs to jump out of the page. If you have your own Bible, underline this, okay? The one who calls you. The reason why my body, my soul, and my spirit need to be sanctified, need to be made new, need to be transformed is because God is calling all of me, body, soul, and spirit, to serve him. The Lord redeems our whole being for his glory. So when it says that the Lord calls you, he's not just calling your mind. God does not just call you to learn new things about him. God is not just calling your body. He is not just calling your behavior and asking you to do all good things. I mean, he is. He wants you to, yes. But there's more. He's not just calling you to have happy feelings and good feelings. He wants all of it. He wants every part of you, body, soul, and spirit, to be living for him, to be transformed by him, and to be walking out in mission for him. He's redeeming all of you for his glory and for his mission. And so as we begin to peel back some of the layers of what's in our soul and what does God begin to build in our soul, we're going to look at some really cool things that God puts inside of our software package so that we can glorify him and serve him. And all of it, my talents, my gifts, everything that God puts in my life, if we use it to his glory, becomes the giant finger that helps us point people to Jesus. Because when I can say, look at how screwed up my life was. Look at the sin. Look at the junk. Look at the pain that was there. And now it's gone. Why is it gone? Because Jesus transformed every part of me. And I get to help point people to Jesus. I love that. I love it. We got to spend some time this week. We got to do worship over at Kingdom Life. They have a special service for people who are recovering from addictions. I love hanging out with folks that are in recovery. They make some of the best evangelists. I love it. In part because one of their talents from last week is they can talk people into things. But the other reason I love hanging out with recovered addicts is because they know. They know that they needed an absolute change of body, soul, and spirit. And when it happens, they can't help but point people and say, my God did it. I couldn't. You need the same God in your life. I love that. Because I needed that. I needed Jesus to transform every part of me. And so did you. And we are here on this journey together saying, Lord, continue to change me. Continue to change body, soul, and spirit that I can be a better pointer to your Son, Jesus Christ. And every part of us, God will use to accomplish that. And I just want to invite you guys on the journey. We took step one this morning because the way this series works is today I'm talking about the soul stuff. Next week in Sunday school, which is at 9:30, we will do a hands-on piece of this. So last week we talked about talents. This morning we did a talent discovery thing. We have some really fun stuff we'll do to start digging into our soul. It just sounds spooky. It's really not. It's kind of fun. But I want to encourage you guys, 9:30 next week, join us and we'll start to unpack what is God doing in my soul so that I can be the pointer that points people to Jesus. I want to invite you to take this journey with us. Let me pray. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for how you are transforming us. We thank you for how you made us in the first place, Father, that you've given us a body that we can enjoy the world you've created. We thank you for the spirit that contains your imprint that's crying out to you at every level of our life. And Father, we thank you for our soul, for the ability to feel and to enjoy all the good things you have for us. We thank you for the ability to think and to reason, and Father, to make the choices that glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, we want every part of us to be transformed so that we can point more and more and more people to you, because you are the God who is good and awesome and wonderful. So, Father, we love you and we praise you, and we just ask that you would accept this gift of our worship as we close our time together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. My friends, as our God has made us, as our God has remade us who believe in him, I want to invite you to stand up so we can worship the Lord together. Amen? Let's worship. And let's just celebrate all the blessings that God has poured into our life. Amen?
Kids asked me this week, why do we sing that song with those really old words? What do some of those mean? When he says, here I raise my Ebenezer, that is him saying, I raise an altar to God that has brought me this far. Amen? He has brought us this far. Amen? And he says, like, let your goodness like a fetter, if that's a chain, folks, let it bind myself to you. Bind me to you, Lord, this week. Amen? That we might go with the joy of the Lord. Amen? Is the joy of the Lord your strength this morning? Amen? Though my tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. Now it's wrapped in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the day of night, I lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. Joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, let my faith arise to you. When I cannot feel your head in mine, let my faith arise to you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord. Oh, shine with glory, Lord, light, I feel alive with you. In your presence now I come alive, I am alive with you. There is strength when I say, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll be. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
When sorrow comes my way, when sorrow comes my way, you're the shield around me, always you remain, like courage in the fight, I hate you call my name, Jesus, I am coming, walking all the way, reaching for your love. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Go in the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Well, hey, my friends, here's the deal. If there's anything I can pray with you about or for you about, if you have any questions about anything we've talked about today, I'll be right up front. I would say you can get a hold of me this week. I'll be gone on vacation. God bless. See you next week. But I'd love to pray with you guys before we head out. Don't worry. I found the absolute best preacher I can. He's better than me. He'll be here to preach next week. Amen? Okay, very good. But I want to send you out with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be merciful unto you, and in all things, may he give you peace. Amen. Go in God's peace, my friends.